Good morning, church. So I hope all you have enjoyed the worship. It's great. Before we move into the God's word, I just would like to ask you a few questions. So today's topic is self-love. So what do you mean by self-love? Can anyone say about self-love? Is it biblically correct? Or is God ask us to love oneself or self? Can somebody say it's an open question to you? So, self-love, good, correct. Good. Anyone from the backside? Anyone? So silent. There is a dilemma, right?
Yeah. Right. Love your neighbor.
Good. That's a good word. Anyone? So silent. There is a dilemma. Yes. There is a dilemma in that. There is a, you know, kind of a mystery that, talks about the self-love. So let us read this Mark 12, 29, 31. When, you know, self-love, the quick verse which comes to our is Mark 12, 29, 31. Basically, what we see in today's world is the four-letter word love. Okay, so which is mostly misunderstood by everyone, and it is mismanaged, and also it is misinterpreted among youth or even in, you know, Christendom. Everywhere, wherever you see, we talk about love, we talk about self-love, we talk about, you know, inner peace and all that, but this four-letter word is a mystery for everyone, that it is very, very difficult to understand. So moreover, you might have, see, many of us from corporate, so today's corporate world, people will talk about, you know, we need to, you know, love ourselves, and then so that, you know, we get inner peace, happiness, and there is a huge clamor for self-love, right? So this is a new age mantra, okay? So corporate world conduct, you know, a very huge gathering, then corporate gurus come in, and then the management guru come in, and then he talks about, please close your eyes, try to, you know, find yourself, and then you need to love yourself, right? These are all for making their business, right? So if we get inner peace, or if we get kind of a, you know, peace, then they are, you know, work productivity will increase and their business will increase, right? These are all the world which teaches about the self-love. So now let us look at what is given in the Bible, how self-love is described, whether it is correct or not, how it is going to be. Okay, let us read Mark 12, 29 to 31. Can anyone read for me? Okay, thank you so much. So, you can read it. There is a scribe who is a lawyer basically, okay? He comes to Jesus personally and asking him, okay, which is the greatest or which is the first commandment of all. Basically, what Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, does at that point of time is they always ask kind of a, you know, difficult question to Jesus to put him in trouble, to buy some words, and then to, you know, always try to put him in trouble. And then, you know, because, you know, Jesus was trying to destroy their business, right? So at that point of time, so these Pharisees and Sadducees are coming, and one scribe comes to Jesus and asking this question: what is the first commandment, or what is the greatest commandment of all? Can you say? Then Jesus, quotes this. Anyway, this is the reference from Leviticus 19:18 and Deuteronomy 6:5, okay, which is a Mosaic law. And whereas he asked about one greatest command, but Jesus gave two commands. So that is a thing. So see, the first command is from Deuteronomy 6:4. It is asking you to love God with all our might, all our will, all our strength, all our mind, all our soul. But there is an addition. There is an ad hoc given by Jesus Christ. That is, you love your neighbor as yourself. So this is a mystery word. Okay, many of people still debate this. Okay, basically this particular verse is not given as you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? The word could have been like that, but here it is not given as love yourself. It is given as yourself. So basically here the self-love which we talk about is not there. So this is more of taking care of our neighbor as ourselves. So it is not that you love yourself and then you love your neighbor. Basically it is taking care of like you take care of your neighbor, right? So there is a self-love part which is completely missing. That is what Jesus talks about. And moreover, this is the command. So we are talking about command. So it is not a suggestion given by Jesus, but it is a command given by Jesus. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. And we cannot, say that it is by choice, but it is a command. Okay? Let us look at, further. So I was, going through, this topic, particular topic, self-love, in Google, and, try what world talks about self-love. Okay? So can anyone say, if I love myself or if you love yourself, what could be the result? What could be the outcome? Can anyone say? It's an open question. Please. Pride. Okay, good. Self-centric. Very good. Anyone? Narcissism. Perfect. Anyone? Self? Selfishness. Very good. Good. Fantastic. So, this is what the Forbes Health article says about, self-love. When you have self-love, what we are going to attain, what we are going to get is self-esteem. There is self-pride, self-awareness, self-forgiveness, and self-sufficiency. So have you ever, read, I think most of us, having a, habit of reading Bible, right? So have you ever seen these kind of a word or similar word in Bible anywhere? So we have talked about pride, we have talked about, sufficiency, we have talked about forgiveness, but we have never talked about, or the Bible never talk about self-forgiveness, self-sufficiency, or self-pride, all these things. Because it's all a new age mantra, which is basically given to us to divert from the word of God. And moreover, if you see the sufficiency, the forgiveness, and the awareness, all these things, where we get it? We get it only through Jesus Christ, we always look upon him for our sufficiency, for our forgiveness. There is a cross set before us for all this. Whereas the New Age mantra talks about self, self, self. It all brings in and then try to divert us, take us from this. Okay, this is what happens nowadays. So, I think we can go back. Oh, sorry, I had it right. Yeah. So, it is very clearly given to us, there is no other commandment greater than this. Right? So, what's our whole purpose of life? If you ask about, no, I need to be self-sufficient, you know, I need to have self-forgiveness. Whenever I do any sin, I'll immediately forgive myself. And then, you know, I will, have self-pride when I complete something. And then, you know, I complete this project and then, you know, I boast of myself. So these are all, you know, brought very recently. Whereas in biblical time, or it was not there. So there is only one command that is given to us is love our neighbor as ourselves, not loving ourselves. Okay, that is given very clear in the Bible. And when we consider, ourselves, we talk about self-love. So basically, people talk about self-love. Okay, I always have this in my mind. Okay, I always love myself. Yes, that is a basic thing, because God has created us in his own image, right? So God is love. We discussed about this last week, right? The message about last week is God is love. God's love we spoke about. So when he created us in his own image, that is basically a reflection. That is basically, you know, cascaded to us. So we also have that self-love in the inherent or in our personal life. It's a birth, right? It's a virtue. We have an inherent part, this kind of a love. But there is a word. There is a word from Jesus that if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Right? So Jesus breaks that. So it is not that, okay, we follow that virtue, but if we have to follow him, then we need to break that there. Because he just breaks each and everything from the New Testament when it comes to Old Testament, right? So in Old Testament, it is, everything is about punishment. Whereas he just completely segregates everything. Okay, in New Testament, there is a forgiveness for everything, right? So that is what, let us look at Genesis 1:26. Can someone read Genesis 1:26? Thank you. So, when we talk about self-worth, our virtue, by default we have this love because we have made like God, because we were made in his own image. That is the reason we have that love. But that love has to be, completely broken if you want to follow Jesus. That is what he says. And Psalms 139:14, one of the fantastic verse. I love this verse because we are made fearfully and wonderfully. Say, God has made us fearfully. So why God has to fear, right? So our life is so precious that we have made fearfully and wonderfully that we have a better life. We reflect him in our life. So that is what the love is all about. It is not the self-love which the world talks about. So we can also read Matthew 16:26. So it says about, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? He can be 100 billion or 200 billion, you know, owning a big rich person, but if he loses his own soul without knowing God, without, you know, helping others, without loving his neighbor, the entire profit is at a stake, right? So if you don't know God, ultimately he is going to the everlasting, eternal hell, eternal fire, right? He is no more. And that is the reason we always have to keep it in our mind that self-love is not going to lead us anywhere. So, there is a special value, right? God has kept on us. So, that is the reason we have been made in his own image and we have been, you know, made fearfully and wonderfully. So, we need to understand why these two, the virtue of self-love which we talk about, okay? So, now let us move to the, verse. How this self-love is given in biblical context. So this is the dictionary definition of self-love. Okay, this is the word web dictionary which I use, so I have taken it. So if you see, I'm not going to, you know, go to the first of, but I'm going to see the second of. When you see the synonyms for this, we'll be able to understand what is self-love which the world talks about. So it is talking about narcissism. It is talking about vanity. There is nothing in it, okay, which Solomon says. And there is a conceit, right? So this is, even the world knows, but we have been, carried. We have been, taken for granted to use that self word all the time, right? So this is more of, self. I need to use it here, right? So when we talk about, self love. As far as the biblical context, everywhere you can see, whether it is Paul, talking to their Paul writing the epistle, or when Jesus, talking to their disciple, it talks about only love one another. The self love which we talk about is not the self love which we love ourselves, but how we treat our neighbor as we treat ourselves. So that is what it is in a nutshell. So when we talk about Romans 13:8, it is very, categorically says that, oh, no one. It is nothing. We are not going to be, gratitude for anything except the love. So our major, our entire, or I would say, full life should be committed to love one another, and that has fulfilled the law. So if you say, in the Old Testament, keeping the law is very much important, okay, for everyone, whether it is prophet or Israelites or, sometime heathens, whoever it is, keeping the law is, Mosaic law is very much important. But Jesus breaks that. He just, make everything in one single word as love. If you love one another, that will fulfill the law. Let us, go to Galatians 5:14. Can someone read for me? Galatians 5:14. it is very simple. If you wanted to follow the law, love. Not yourself or not ourself. It is love your neighbor. That fulfills the entire law that Moses talks about and Jesus talks about. So this is in a nutshell. And again, let us, you know, look at how there is a different perspective given in the Bible about this particular, you know, loving our neighbor. So Hebrews 10:24 talks about considering one another. This is not loving. So considering one another. So many a time what we do is, when we commit any mistakes, okay, I quickly do, you know, kind of a root cause and then say that, okay, everyone does, it's okay. Okay, we forget, forgive ourselves. It's a self-forgiveness, okay? So we normally does. Whereas, you know, there is no, you know, way for the self-forgiveness in Bible. So forgiveness always comes from God. So the one and only thing which we need to do is we need to have that remorse and we need to go to Him for the forgiveness. If you go to Him for the forgiveness, He is ready to give the forgiveness. So we do that, you know, quick self-forgiveness and say that it is okay because, you know, we are all, you know, growing. So likewise, so we need to consider our neighbor. Okay, he has done something. Probably it is not, okay, like he intended to do. So probably, you know, I need to look at what, you know, we need to go into his shoes and then understand what he has committed to me and then forgive our, right? So that is what very much important. That is what even God asks us. And that is what, you know, Paul says very clearly. You consider one another. You know, better than himself. You don't have esteem than anyone. So he again and again talks about, you know, this kind of word to love his neighbor or one's neighbor. So Romans 2:8 say, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Here, self-seeking. So when we talk about Bible, whether it talks about self-love, okay, here it is very clearly given that self-seeking is forbidden. So it's a direct, you know, word that is given to us. So let's move to the next slide. So basically, you know, we talked about this neighbor love and, you know, how we need to love our neighbor, how we need to, you know, keep everything in front of us, okay, for others. Okay. There is a say in Tamil, okay. So I'll just translate that in English. So basically, if a mother-in-law breaks a pot, it is basically a mud pot. Okay? You might have heard about this. But if a daughter-in-law breaks that, it will be a golden pot. Right? So that's what we hear. So when I do anything wrong, okay, it is okay. When something does the same, then it is actually wrong. Okay? So that is what it is about, keeping oneself, right, in front of us. So this is a similar thing which, you know, world and the God's word demands. Okay? So the world love always asks us to put ourselves first. So whatever I'm doing is right. Whatever my neighbor doing is wrong. Even if it is, you know, the intensity of the wrong is, even if it is small, then it is wrong. So even if I am, you know, committing a very big mistake or very big sin, that is okay. Because it is me I am doing. So that is what it talks about. The, you know, the self-love demands always, it is a selfish, self-intelligent love. And it always asks us to put ourselves first. Whereas Bible talks about in Philippians 2:3-4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition and conceit. but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. It is very clear word. So can we understand? So we should never ever think ourselves above anyone at any point of time. This is very clear. And we can also read Philippians 2:5. Can anyone read Philippians 2:5? Perfect. So basically, Jesus was a God, is a God, is going to be God. He's a God, right? He never thought that is a robbery. He could have simply said when he was in, cross, he could have simply said, Lord, these guys are doing wrong, please kill everyone. Right? He could have said, because that much of a unbearable pain he was going through. He was flogged, he was, spitted, he was, given ill words, he was put into shame, striped, he was half naked, everything, whatever thing shouldn't be done, was done to him, right? He could have just, in a flick of the moment, he would have completely changed everything. But what he said was, Lord, they are not knowing what they are doing, right? He just forgive them. He just always think others, not of himself, right? So that is what the world talks about, selfish and self-indulgent love, whereas Jesus talks about loving our neighbor. And many a time people talks about in the world that no, we need to accept as ourselves, because you are worthy of you are having life, full of life. We are going to live a very short life. Okay, whatever we do, whatever we commit, it's okay, because it's all shortcomings. Everyone has the shortcomings. We need to accept ourselves as we are. This is what the world talks about, right? But what Bible talks about is, we cannot accept as we are. I cannot do sins anymore. I'm not allowed to do the sins. If I'm committing sins, then I need to go to Jesus Christ. I need to go to God and ask for the forgiveness, rather than sitting in a place, okay, I'm okay, because I have a shortcoming that we are piling up, right? We'll be pile up all our sins. And we never, have this, and ultimately we, go into a kind of a guilty feeling, and then, we'll never be, coming out of that. So it is, the world talks about accepting as we are, whereas Christ talk about we need to confess our sins. If we confess our sins with full heart, He is ready to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all the sins. And one more, thing which we always say, that, we should not compare ourselves. The world always talk about, no, you are a project manager, he's a production manager, and you have a different JD, and you have a different thing, and you should not compare yourself. You need to show your, performance, like they have their own, set of rules and regulations. Basically, it talks about, do not compare yourself, right? Is it right? Can anyone say? Should we compare or should we not compare? We should not? Compare? No. Yes or no? We should not compare. Good. So this is what the world talks about. Let me, humbly contradict this. We have a comparison. We have to compare ourselves. We have a benchmark. That is what says John 2:6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. We can say, brother, today, I was in a trouble, you know, I had to do this wrong, and then, you know, I committed mistake. But Bible never talks about it. Have you ever compared this with Jesus Christ before we do it? Because Bible says, whatever we are going through was gone through by him. Right? He has already set an example. So for each and everything, whatever we do, he has already, you know, gone through that. He has set an example in front of us. We are having a comparison. So when we talk about measures in the world, okay, how the measurement happens. So if I say this is 100 ml, okay, that is, I think, if I'm not wrong, in a lab in Belgium or somewhere, they have a measurement of 100 ml. That is a comparison, okay, for everything. If there is 1 kilogram, if I say there is a 1 kilogram of weight or something, you know, which is kept as a comparison, right? So there is a comparison. Although we cannot compare ourselves for, you know, committing sins, right? So Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, what they do is, no, I'm better than him. He's doing bad, I'm doing worse, and I'm doing worse, and he's doing bad, okay? That is not the comparison I'm talking about. The comparison which Bible talks about is, for us, we have a benchmark. The benchmark is the Christ, Jesus. He has already said, whatever the, you know, walk of our life, whether I am doing sins, whether I am doing good, whether I am doing bad, this was already, you know, Jesus has gone through. He has gone through starvation when he was, you know, in 40 days fasting. And he has gone through the same kind of, even more than that. Say, for example, if somebody calls me and tell that, you know, I'm going to give you this new Panvel, I'm going to, you know, give just 1 rupee, I'll immediately go and, you know, buy that. That time Satan was talking about, you know, giving the entire kingdom to Jesus, right? He was just enticing him to give something. But what God did was, he just refused. He just commanded to go to hell. Command the Satan to go to hell. Right? So he also gone through this kind of a very tough and rough, you know, situation. So we always have to compare also, because, you know, we are allowed, we are asked to compare, we are asked to, you know, follow his footsteps. So I'm certainly not talking about comparing ourselves with our colleagues or our neighbor or our, you know, workers, whoever it is, but I'm talking about comparing ourselves with God. Right? So you are right about compare. We should not compare, but our comparison should be with God, not with the men. So this is what, very clear commandment. So we saw, we cannot put ourselves first. We always look for others' goodness, and we need to accept ourselves as we are. It is forbidden because we have God in front of us, and whatever the sins which we are committing, we cannot accept as it is and then go on do it same forever. We need to go to God and then ask for forgiveness, and we should compare ourselves with Jesus Christ all the time. So when we talk about neighbor's love, can anyone say, you know, what is neighbor's love? So we spoke about, you know, always put yourself, or don't put yourself, always love your neighbor, all these things, right? Can anyone say, what is neighbor's love? Okay. Service for whom? So who is our neighbor? Very good. Okay. Perfect. Perfect. So anyone from the back side? It is very silent there. Yes. The same scribe asked. Whereas in Luke, Luke is, recording this particular incident. The scribe who asked about the, for the commandment, he's asking in the next verse that, Master, tell us who is our neighbor. Can we read that? Yes. It is Luke 10:30. Okay. Thank you. So, it is talking about neighbor's love. So basically, Samaritans were, at that point of a time, they were in the lower strata. Okay. So, when there is a priest, there is another person coming and looking at a person who is in a very bad state, they just vomited and then went away. Whereas the Samaritan, who never know about him, but he took care of him. Even he, took him to a hospital kind of a thing. And then he gave money. And not only he gave money, he told the person who is a keeper there, please take care of him. If anything more is required, I'll pay back when I am back. Okay? So he's going to some work, basically. And he just took care of him. And then, he says all. In a nutshell, as sister said, anyone who is in trouble or our neighbor. It's not only, 603 or 604 or 605 person who is, living nearby. It is not that guy. Whoever sees, whoever is in need, they are our neighbor. So, one more point before we, end this. So, can we read Matthew 16:24-25, which is, talking about why self-love is wrong and what we need to do. Perfect. So, in a nutshell, this talks about the self-love. If anyone wanted to, love their self, they need to deny themselves, take the cross, follow him. If anyone loves their self, they lose their life. It is simple and plain. So now there is a question comes. What is cross? Cross is all about sufferings. Jesus Christ never promised a cozy life for us. He never ever in the Bible talks about the cozy promises. I will bless you. All these things. It is very simple and plain. If you wanted to follow me, deny yourself. Denying is completely a commandment here. If you are not denying yourself, you are not coming. You are not going to follow me. Because the path which I am, treading is going to be very, very difficult. So that is what the commandment given to us. So when we talk about neighbor, we were talking about, somebody, who don't know about us or whoever is in a need. Okay. Let me, I think you all might be, knowing this person, right? No. Yeah. He is Mr. Graham Staines, who came from Australia. At the age of 15, he knew about one of the leper in Mayurbhanj, Orissa, and he is in Australia. Okay, I'm talking about 1985. Okay, he knows about it, and then he comes through these kind of issues through one of his, you know, pen friend. That time, you know, we used to write letters, right? Beautiful letters and all that. Pen friend, Mr. Shantanu, and then he wanted to, you know, meet him. So he came here, and then he saw all the plight of this people, and then he committed his life, and then he came as a missionary in Orissa, Mayurbhanj, Baripada. And this is the epitome of self-love, is it? Yes. Sacrificial love. Right? So, what I've read about him in book is, he was offered 200 acres of farmland along with a timber shop to marry his uncle's daughter. Right? I'm talking about 1980s. He was given 200 acres of farmland along with a you know, big timber shop which his uncle was offering to him to get married with his daughter. He denied that. He came here. And what I've read is he used to go in the hill 40, 50 kilometers by cycle. And then he used to, you know, gather lepers. And then he was helping them. And one such thing, after his death, there was an interview happened that touched me a lot. That is, when they talked to her, the leper, okay, who has got cured and then rehabilitated. And then he says like this, "Brother, when I was a leper, I was thrown out of my house. Even I was thrown out of my village to the hills. We were fearing our life because in hills, anything can come at any point of a time. And then, you know, they are, you know, this fingers or anything, this normally draws small, you know, insects, all this. They were into deep trouble. They were into deep distress, but no one was ready to take care of them. But when he took care of them, when rehabilitated, but people started accusing him of several things." Is it not the epitome of loving our neighbor? So this is what the love which God asks us to radiate or, you know, pass on to others. So let us think about this neighbor's love rather than self-love. So, as we saw, in summary, there is no self-love in Bible as such. It is very clear, it is forbidden. We have been commanded to love our neighbors than us. So let us do nothing in self-ambition and conceit. We always think others before we do anything. Thank you.